It's the final countdown and the final four. We have made it to four teams in the men's and women's March Madness tournament, and it is going to be electric. And hey, I'm more excited for the women's final four this year than the men's. And looking at ticket prices and the internet, I'd say the whole world is more excited for that as well. What's up, everyone? Got a lot to break down. Sweet 16 happened, Elite 8 happened, and we are now to the Final Four in the men's and women's with phenomenal matchups on both sides. And then we got the MLB season is here. We got some electric storylines, some teams that are in the gutters and teams that are on Mount Everest right now. We got trades in the NFL. We got the NBA season coming down to like the last five games. And we even have some golf going on. So we're going to be breaking all that down and more. But before we get started, make sure to follow the podcast on any platform, any streaming service, literally anywhere. Get your podcast at Burgers and Brats and stay up to date with the latest news on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Burgers and Brats. Hopefully you're watching this live on millions.co. Go check it out, millions.co at Burgers and Brats. Go watch live every Thursday night and check out my shop as well. I'm going to save my thoughts and predictions for the Final Four for later on in the episode. So let's start with a little bit of breaking news in the NFL. Crazy trade. Stephon Diggs, wide receiver of the Buffalo Bills, has been traded to the Houston Texans for a 2025 second round pick and a fifth and sixth round as well. So, Buffalo and Josh Allen get worse losing Stephon Diggs. Now, Stephon Diggs is 30 years old. Still a great playmaker, great addition to any team that he is on, a phenomenal weapon for Josh Allen. I mean, this does hurt. I said at the beginning of the year, I thought this would be Stephon Diggs' last season. Just you could see the tension, you could feel the tension between these two guys. And I also said, this is the last year they have a chance to win a Super Bowl. They haven't even made it to a Super Bowl. Yeah, they made it to the AFC Championship game. They're done. Stephon Diggs is that big for this team. They really are. And he really is. And, yeah, the Bills turned it on towards the end of the year. They did not look good in the beginning. But they turned it on in the end. Josh Allen, good quarterback. But Diggs did a lot and, I mean, took double coverage, got his yards, got his catches every game. And this is a huge loss for the Bills and Sean McDermott. Obviously now, build through the draft. Trade for another player for some draft picks. But Stephon Diggs now going to the Texans. That is huge. This Texans team made it to the divisional round. They got out of the first round. And this team with D'Amico Ryans, C.J. Stroud, Tank Dell, you have Diggs, and you have Joe Mixon in a good defensive group. This Texans team is legit dangerous next season. I mean, I think they won their division this year. I mean, yeah, the Jaguars imploded. But, I mean, this Texans team is going to win the division this upcoming. It's a big get for this young team, especially with veteran leadership like Stephon Diggs adding to the mix. And Joe Mixon has a Super Bowl appearance. They've gone far in the playoffs multiple years. And now you add Diggs to that as well. The experience of the playoffs, the leadership, and just the being in the league for so many years. So this is a huge get for the Texans and a huge hurt for the Bills. Going to the MLB real quick. We're a full weekend now. The season is a week in, and man, I am happy to be a Yankees fan. This is the best start we've had since, I think, 03 or something like that. You started out 5-0. On the season, you get to 6-1, sweeping the Astros in Houston for the first series, 4-0, and then getting a 2-1 series victory over the defending runner-ups, the Arizona Diamondbacks. That is a huge weekend if you're a Yankees fan, especially for Boone. The manager, whose seat is hot, who probably should have been fired after this last season. I wanted him fired after this last season. But the seat is definitely cooling down a little bit right now. We'll see how well they play. They get to go home finally, who play a Toronto team that is really good. A team that's not going anywhere. Huge news. I mean, being this good, Juan Soto, three games, he took the lead in three games. So this man came to play. He's playing for money. And you have no Gerrit Cole, looking really good if you're a Yankees fan. The Oakland Athletics are going to play the 2025 through 2027 season in the AAA Sacramento ballpark until they finalize their move to Las Vegas. I mean, just if you've seen the pictures, there is no one in Oakland attending games. Absolutely no one. AAA ballpark makes sense. They still won't even sell that out. So, going to be fun to see that. Sad if you're in Oakland A's in the athletics department. So, sell the team if you're the Oakland A's. Nike is testing options to fix the Fanatics jerseys for this season. If you guys haven't seen, I don't know how you haven't yet, especially if you follow sports at all or the MLB at all. The Fanatics jerseys that came out this year were just atrocious. You see through, the stitching was terrible. I mean, everything about them is awful. There's not one good word to say about the Fanatics jersey. So Nike looking to improve that, and hopefully, because my goodness, I'm glad I got my jerseys a few years ago, because the jerseys this year, terrible. I mean, even for the same teams, the stitching's wrong, the wording, just how it looks is just, it looks different for each jersey, even though on the same team. So hopefully Nike can get that fixed. There's a lot of good teams, a lot of bad teams. It's 1 week, though. We're like six, seven games in for some teams. Really, though, Yankees 6-1 on the season. Detroit 5-1 on the year. The Guardians 6-2 on the year. These are surprise teams up here. Rangers, the defending world champions, 4-2. And Boston at 5-2 on the year. A team that really thought take a step down. In the NL, Braves are 3-2 leading that division. And then let's talk about the Pirates, guys. 6-1. Pittsburgh versus Yankees World Series? Eh? Maybe. I can dig it. But yeah, Pirates going 6-1. Brewers 4-1. In the NL West, I mean, of course, you got the Dodgers at 7-2 on the season. It's going to be tough to stop them, guys. It's going to be tough to stop the Dodgers. Ohtani getting his first home run for the Dodgers. But kind of took his time getting that. But I mean, with all the storylines going on around him, I can see why he was in a slump. So that's kind of some MLB. Got some great games heading up. I mean, Cubs, Dodgers, that'll be fun. Both teams playing great. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, two great teams. Arizona, Atlanta, and then Houston, Texans are some really good series coming up for this weekend. So tune in for baseball for this upcoming few days this weekend. Get some good action going on. All right, and then to golf. We are 1 week away from the Masters. I cannot wait to be talking about the Masters upcoming here next week. But right now we got the Valero Texas Open. Scottie Scheffler just falls short of his third straight win last weekend. This weekend, though, in San Antonio, we got the TPC San Antonio $9.2 million purse. Leaderboard right now, you got Akshay Bhatia at 9-under. He is 3 strokes ahead of the next closest, which is Brendan Todd and Justin Lower at tied for second at 6-under. Some big names on here. Max Homa, 4-under, tied for 4th. Rory McIlroy, 3-under, tied for 8th. And then Lucas Glover, 2-under, as well as Ryan Moore, Colin Morikawa, Corey Connors, and Zach Johnson at 2-under. Tommy Fleetwood, 1-under, tied for 30th. Shank and Harmon, Fitzpatrick, and all those guys at 1-under. Otherwise, kind of the main names going into the weekend. Everyone, kind of some of the bigger names, taking a week off, getting ready for the Masters. So excited for that coming up. I mean, live from Augusta, baby. Nothing beats that. So Valero Texas Open this weekend. So look forward to some of the big names. I mean, another guy, another up-and-comer getting a first win. 8 of the 13 tour winners this year, 8 of the 13 have been first-time winners. So this is awesome for the sport, getting to learn these new guys, seeing these new up-and-coming guys getting it and winning. A lot of parity, a lot of variety going on in golf this season. So good to see. Oh, maybe we'll see one of those guys win the Masters. I mean, looks like it's going to be 10 of the 14 tournaments that a new guy has won. So maybe it could be 11 of 15 with the Masters. Break that down next week. All right, NBA, tough news for the Knicks, man. Just tough. It's never easy if you're a Knicks fan. You're a 5 seed right now. You're more than likely going to hold on to a top 6 seed. And you lose Julius Randle for the season. That is very tough. I mean, I think they're cursed. I think the Knickerbockers are cursed up there. But Julius Randle, big loss for the Knicks. Still going to probably get a playoff spot. At least a top 10 seed, but definitely hurts. All right. In the East, I mean, nothing's changed, guys. The Celtics are now 13 games ahead of the second-seeded Bucks. It is a bigger gap between the first and second seed in the East than the first through 10 seed in the West. That is just how much better the West is. I mean, wow. 1 through 10 in the West is separated by 11 games. 1 through 2 in the East is separated by 13. That's just unfair. That is just unfair. But hey, like I said, the Rockets were trying to catch up with the Warriors for that 10 spot. But it looks like the Warriors, they got a 4-game lead right now. It looks like they're going to be holding on to that and getting that final play-in spot. We got in the West, we got Timberwolves and Nuggets tied for the 1 seed right now with the Thunder 1 game back. And then those are going to be the top 3 teams, guys. Those are top 3. Getting home, I mean, that's going to be them. 4 through, really, Clippers more than likely have the 4 seed lock in. I mean, and this matchup, if we get this 4 and 5, I mean, Mavericks are 5th. Whatever, 4, 5, 6, I mean, or 3 through 6, I mean, this is going to be great basketball. You have the Timberwolves, followed the Nuggets, Thunder, Clippers, Mavericks at 5, Suns at 6. We're going to get some really good matchups in the first round of the West. That is just super exciting. I mean, could be Thunder Suns, Clippers Mavs, Clippers Suns. I mean, it's going to be fun basketball to watch, and even in the first round. In the play-in spot, you got the Pelicans followed by the Kings and Lakers, all game and a half back of each other. And then, I mean, those teams are still fighting for a regular playoff spot. So it's going to be close coming in, and then Warriors taking the final spot. But those will be your 10 teams. And Pelicans, Kings, Suns, Lakers, even the Mavericks, those teams, that it's all going to shuffle. I think it's going to shuffle. You got a few games left. See if some guys stay healthy. See if you rest some guys for the playoffs, or you just try to get your spot in and whoever we play, it's going to be tough anyways. Oh, well. Deal with it. In the East, looks like two through five are 2 games apart. Bucks at 2, Cavs at 3, probably the Magic, Knicks, and Pacers rounding out that top 6. Seeding is just going to be everything now. It's just going to be seeding. Which matchups are we going to want to see? For some games going on right now in the middle of the Clippers-Denver game, looks like the Clippers are probably going to win this one. Earlier, we had Golden State beating Houston. That gave them a game up. Philadelphia beat Miami earlier in the day. So, that was huge. The Heat are right at that 7 seed, drop them out of the 6 spot with the Pacers. And the Sixers are now half a game back. So, I mean, it's Heat 7, Sixers 8. So, I mean, that was huge for seeding right there. tonight, Friday, Sacramento, Boston, that was just be for seeding. Gold State, Dallas, that is huge. That's going to be a huge one. Both those teams need a win. Both those teams need a win just to move up in the rankings. San Antonio, New Orleans. And then Saturday, Cleveland, Lakers. Phenomenal matchup. Really, really good. And then Sunday, we got Cleveland Clippers, Houston, Dallas, Miami, Indiana. Those two teams are right on the 6-7. That's huge for seeding. New Orleans, Phoenix. New York, Milwaukee. Utah Golden State and Minnesota and the Lakers. So we got some great games coming up for this weekend. Clear your schedules for the weekend because we're going to be getting some great action. All right, that's kind of some of the other sports headlines before we move into March Madness. All right, let's move into On This Day in History, sponsored by Hefner Eye Care. Hefner Eye Care located 5757 Northwest 132nd Street in Oklahoma City. Like I've been saying, April 8th. Is the solar eclipse going through much of North America, mainly through Oklahoma as well, which we are located in. And hey, we're throwing a party at Hefner Eye Care. Prizes, food, drinks. It's going to be giveaways. It's going to be fun. Hefner Eye Care happening about 12:30 to about 3:30. Watch the solar eclipse. Try on some new frames. Get that style, baby. It's summertime. Get some new style. Come win some prizes, some giveaways, and get some food and drinks at Hefner Eye Care. Check them out, hefnereyecare.com. That's April the 8th. This will come upcoming Monday for the solar eclipse. All right, on this day, 1882, Jesse James shot and killed by a fellow gang member. In 1975, Microsoft is founded by Bill Gates and Paul Allen. And then 1968, civil rights activist Martin Luther King Jr. is assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. Happy birthday, Robert Downey Jr., Heath Ledger, and Booker T. Washington. That's on this day, sponsored by Hefner Eye Care. All right, let's go into March Madness. Final Four action. I mean, let's talk a little bit about the women first. I mean, the women was fun. That was fun basketball. That was not just fun, but elite basketball. And we had some great games. We had NC State getting a win over number one seed Texas. NC State also beat Stanford. A huge win. South Carolina looked good, of course. And then Monday, I mean, what a crazy Elite Eight on this side of the bracket. We had a rematch of the 2023 Women's Championship with LSU and Iowa. LSU winning last year. Iowa redeeming themselves and Caitlin Clark dropping 41 points, getting a 94-87 win over LSU. So, I mean, they're putting up buckets in the WNBA. This is elite basketball. UConn getting a huge win over the one-seeded USC Trojans over Juju. So this is really, it's been fun. Paige Beckers, I mean, been balling. She's been balling for years now. I mean, I don't know why you guys haven't been paying attention. Caitlin Clark comes on the scene. Yeah, Caitlin Clark, the GOAT. But Paige Beckers been doing this for a while as well. So give her some respect. And we have an elite Final Four. NC State, 3 seed versus number one South Carolina. And hey, can we talk about NC State? I mean, if you're an NC State fan, you're over the moon. If you're a Connecticut fan, you're over the moon. Both these teams on the women and men's side made the Final Four. It was NC State clinched the Final Four first. So it was the first time ever that the men's and women's team made the Final Four. And then, I mean, just a couple hours later, Connecticut became the second team ever with a men and women's college team in the Final Four. So you get two of those teams in the Final Four, first time ever. Pretty crazy how that happened in the same year, even. So if you're a fan of both those schools, congratulations. I know you're over the moon. And if you don't win a championship this year, I mean, if one of you doesn't win, that's going to be some pretty crazy stuff. Now, I know who most of America is rooting for in both of these tournaments. I mean, the women's, we're all rooting for Caitlin Clark, guys. We're all rooting for CeCe. That's just how it is. And like I was saying, the Elite Eight matchup, Iowa versus LSU, 12.3 million viewers. That is the most watched college basketball game ever. This is a women's basketball game. 12.3 million viewers. This had more views than the 2023 NBA Finals, the 2023 World Series, the 2023 Orange Bowl, Cotton Bowl, Big Ten Championship, Pac-12 Championship, Big 12 Championship, ACC Championship, Peach Bowl, Thursday Night Football, and every 2023 college football regular season game except Ohio State versus Michigan. That is how many people tuned in to watch a women's basketball Elite Eight matchup. Not a Final Four, not a championship game, an Elite Eight matchup. Women's sports are so here. It's sad to see, though, how people are just now tuning in. There have been elite teams in all of women's sports for years now. I mean, UConn went on a 100-something game win streak in women's basketball. Do you know how hard that is? I mean, they won 11 titles. Gene has won 11 titles at UConn. His teams have been incredible. Oklahoma softball won 80 straight games. They've been winning national championships for years now. I mean, golf, tennis, softball, all swimming, diving. I mean, women's sports are just as good as men's sports. They are fun. And like I said, and like you see, people tune in. People watch this women's game more than they watched men's tournaments, men's championships, men's games, men's sports. They tune in. They're tuning in to watch the women. Yeah, you had high-profile names. You had coaches, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Haley Van Lith, all these other names, and it's a March Madness tournament. But hey, people are tuning in and watching. People didn't watch the national championship in football. That's the most watched sporting event. I mean, besides Super Bowl and this. So it was incredible to see the women getting the love they deserve in college basketball. And hopefully it spreads across to other women's sports. Invest in women's sports. People will tune in, like you just heard. And I mean, hey, the women's Final Four tickets are double than the men's. I mean, I saw tickets, I think the lowest ticket, at least earlier in the week, for the women's was $971. And then for the men's, it was about $540, something like that. So it's almost double for a women's ticket. I am more excited for these women matchups than I am the men's side. So I am super excited. We get number 3 seed NC State versus number 1 South Carolina. South Carolina undefeated on the season. They're 36-0. Incredible. It is fun. This is a great team. This team is the most dominant team, I think, in basketball right now. I would easily pick them to win a championship right now. It's not a given, though. This NC State team just beat a number 1 seeded Texas. Now they're going to go play a number 1 seed again, and probably the best number 1 seed. UConn, a 3 seed. When is Gene and UConn ever a 3 seed in the women's side? They face the number 1 seeded Iowa Hawkeyes. 33-4. UConn was 33-5. I mean, Caitlin Clark, guys. Just incredible. Just incredible. I mean, but Paige Beckers, these two women, incredible. I am tuning in for this. I love it. These two teams met when they were freshmen. Both these girls were freshmen. They met in the Sweet 16. So no one knew who they were back then. Maybe we knew who Paige Beckers was. No one knew Caitlin Clark. No one paid attention. Now we're paying attention. So I'm excited. Caitlin Clark, this is kind of a revenge game for her. She always wanted to go to UConn. Always dreamed about playing there. Jean never sent her, never showed up to practice, never sent her an offer. Decided to go to Iowa. You done pissed off Caitlin Clark. This is a revenge game? I didn't know she had those. I thought she'd just beat everyone. No, that Caitlin Clark about to tear it up against UConn. Mm-mm. You didn't offer her. She getting 70. She going Kobe nuts. She going Wilt numbers in this game. So look out for that. Just get your teammates involved. You can do pretty good. Paige Becker's got to have a huge game for Connecticut. But I like NC State against... I like South Carolina against NC State in the first matchup, 6 p.m. Central Time, ESPN, Friday night, tonight. And then game following about 8:30 p.m. Central on ESPN tonight. I'm going number one Iowa over UConn. UConn, though, championship DNA. They know how to win. one of the greatest coach of all time. But, man, I'm not going against Caitlin Clark. I'm not an idiot. I'm not going against her. Give me Caitlin Clark in Iowa to make it to the championship on the women's side. I'll be tuning in for that. That's awesome. That's going to be fun. All right. Let's go to the men's side real quick. Final Four Saturday. NC State and Purdue have not been the Final Four since the 80s. Eesh. The 80s. That's 40-plus years, guys. How come I kept hearing Purdue was so great at basketball? They haven't been there since the 80s. NC State, I mean, Jimmy V, last time they made it, they won the championship with Jimmy V, late grade Jimmy V. Never give up. Never, ever give up. So, hey, this NC State team, they're not giving up. Mm-mm. Definitely aren't. Bama is their first ever trip to the Final Four. If you thought you were sick of Bama in college football, oh, baby. Just wait, you'll be sick of them in college basketball. Elite Eight, kind of surprised. I am surprised by the Sweet 16. I was surprised by the Sweet 16. Elite Eight, I kind of thought NC State could handle Duke, take care of business there. which, I mean, obviously they did. I mean, DJ Burns, baby. That man is awesome. That man is a gift. It is fun watching him play. But can we talk about how UConn went on a 30-0 run against the Big Ten champion and a three-seeded Illinois? 30-0 run to open the second half. I think it was a 4-point game at half. And UConn turned the burners on. Who's stopping this UConn team? And a 4-seeded Bama team? I don't know. I don't think so. Alabama, good 89-82 win over Clemson in their Elite Eight. And then on the other side, we had Tennessee hung in close. I mean, Dalton Knecht, a great player, a heck of a player. Thought he could get it done against Zach Edey and this Purdue team, but Purdue gets a win 72-66. We got Fal-Ming, Zach Edey. I mean, refs love this guy. The refs love Zach Edey. I mean, I'm sorry, but my goodness. That many free throws is just crazy. And it's probably going to happen again this game. NC State beating Duke 76-64. A big win over a Duke Blue Devils team. All right, now let's go into this game. Let's start with number 11, NC State versus number 1, Purdue. Purdue, an 8.5-point favorite in this one. Which is kind of low, honestly. I mean, you look at the other matchup. UConn is 11.5-point favorite over Bama. Purdue's one of the best teams. Purdue's the best team, second best team in the country, behind Connecticut. And they're only 8.5 over 11 seed. I mean, DJ Burns been awesome. He's the story of the tournament right now. I mean, Purdue, you did what you were expected to do. Purdue can kind of follow that same path of Virginia. You lose to a 16 seed, everyone makes fun of you. You get your guys back. You have the player of the year now 2 years in a row with Edey. And Virginia lost to a 16 seed. came back, won a championship that next year in overtime against Texas Tech. Now, Purdue, you got a chance to do that. And you have a chance to take down one of the best teams we've ever seen. Best two, I mean, UConn going back-to-back, it looks like. I mean, you take down them, that is a great story. That is a great story to come back and do. And everything will be forgiven for you losing to a 16 seed a year before. Burns versus Edie is going to feed families. I am excited for this matchup. I am super stoked for this. Purdue only 2 of 15 from the three-point line in the Elite Eight after being 40% from deep all season, which is like the best in the country. That is hard to do, being that good from deep. But, hey, they get open shots. This Purdue team, 19 assists per game, which is second in the league. Second in the country. And that's why they shoot so well. They get the open shots. They find the open guys. Purdue's also 49% from the field. 49%. The only better team is UConn. Purdue is incredible. They got shooters, man. And they got Zach Edey, who is 8 feet tall and can just stand on their rim and put the ball in. So, Fao Ming, expect him to get to the line a lot. You cannot foul. You got to be careful if you're NC State, if you're Burns. You cannot get Burns into foul trouble early because you are going to lose that game. If he's getting in, especially if Horn isn't knocking down shots for NC State. Both teams low 70s and free throw percentage. So just stay out of foul trouble. You don't want to lose a game like that. That's not how you want to lose a trip to a championship game, being in foul trouble and fouling all the time. Purdue, 40 rebounds per game, top 5 in the country, versus NC State's 35 a game. And I mean, Zach Edey, he gets 5 of those offensive rebounds a game. 5. That's a chance for at least 10 more points in a game, and that is huge. I mean, you're getting 5 offensive rebounds, kick it right back out, that's a 3, put it right back up, that's a 2. Those are huge in these matchups, these games that go such a slower pace and just such close games because the matchups are so much more even. So that's huge. Edey and as a team getting that many rebounds. NC State does foul a lot, and Zach Edey gets the whistle. NC State's one of the worst teams at fouling, so expect Purdue to go to the line a lot. Like, NC State, just slow the ball down. Let Burns get some shots. Let him get some shots up. Horn, get him open on the looks. He was hot in their Elite Eight matchup, so expect that as well. Don't expect them to cool down. Purdue, 11 turnovers per game. NC State takes care of the ball a little better than that, but got to take advantage of those fast break points, especially those open lanes, no tall guy standing in the middle of it. Every shot matters for NC State. They're only shooting 45% from the field, so pass the ball, take the open looks, but don't be too scared to shoot because Purdue on the other end is going to light it up. Just don't be too scared. Take your good shots. Don't overthink, and don't think every throw has to go in, even though it does. It does against this elite Purdue team. Edey's had 40 points last game, 20 free throws. Don't expect 40, especially with going against Burns, but do expect a pretty high turnout, pretty good margin for the big man down low. NC State, just you take care of the ball well. Take care of the ball. Don't overthink it. You're going against a great team. But you've beat some great teams along the way, and you know you can win this game. Just play smart. Purdue, play your normal game, and you're probably going to win this game. Give me Purdue over NC State to reach it to the championship. Hey, I trusted you, Purdue, even though I probably shouldn't have earlier. I'm going to trust you again and take it to the championship. I guess I should have picked y'all earlier in the season. I should have picked you, I guess. My bad. Should have done it. All right, Purdue over NC State for me. And then final game, number 4 Bama versus number 1 UConn. UConn, 11.5-point favorite in this game. This is a Bama team that averages like 85 points a game. But the UConn team, they average a lot too. This is the best team all season. UConn has been no contest at all. They have trailed for 28 seconds this whole tournament. I mean, they played good competition. I mean, they had a 16 seed, then they played NC State, or they played San Diego State, and they played Auburn, I think. And then they played a really good Illinois team and went on a 30-0 run to start the second half. So, this UConn team, I think every game has been won by at least 30. I think their average margin is 30 points a game. What a great story, though, for Bama. Nate Oates, former high school coach, getting his team to the Final Four. I mean, this Bama team, they're not expected to go this. They're expected to go this far when they had Brandon Miller last year. But, hey, that didn't happen. So, to go this far, pretty good. No one expected it. Some big-time wins. I mean, it's awesome for this Bama team and all that. They're just not tired of winning in any sport, I guess. Hurley for UConn, best coach. I mean, he is the best coach. And, I mean, not just for this team. Not obviously for this team, but, like, to not be complacent and just let other teams hang around, especially in March Madness when you're that much better than them. And to go out and win by 30 every single game is very impressive. Very impressive during this time of the year when you're going to get everyone's best shot. UConn, 50% from the field. That helps. When you're 50% from the field, you don't need to say anything. Just say shoot. Just say shoot the ball. That's it. Bama, though, can catch up with their 78% free throw shooting percentage compared to UConn's 74. So if it gets late, get into some foul trouble. Gets into kind of the bonuses. Late, gets close. Bama could pick up some steam right here. Shooting one of the better in the country at 78%. And UConn, not great, 74. Both shoot 36% from the three-point line. Bama got to knock it down. You got to get hot. You're going to have to make every single shot that you throw up. Because UConn's not missing it. They're not going to miss. It's pretty even on the boards as well. So second chance points pretty even on both sides. Bama, 12 turnovers a game. You got to limit that. Cannot give UConn even easier shots on the fast break. Bama, they foul 20 times a game. That's a ton of fouls. Bama fouls a team's 20 times. A lot of points given up. Easy points on the free throw line. But, hey, UConn's not great at the free throw line. So, we'll see. Nelson was a great add from Bama coming in from, I believe, North Dakota State. So, Sears as well got average 25 points. All right, he's got to get 25 in this game. Him and Nelson got a ball out. Nelson get on the rebounding glass. Don't get in foul trouble like he did last game. Newton and all of UConn, they can ball. They're filthy. All of them are playmakers. They can all go play in the NBA right now. So, Bama, you give up 81 points a game. That is 356 in the country. This UConn team shoots 50%. What do you think is going to happen? They're going to score 100. Got to get some defense stops. Got to get some turnovers if you want a chance. UConn only giving up 63 points a game. It's a big disparity right there. It's huge. UConn, third in the country with 19 assists per game. You get the open shots, you make the open shots. A lot easier. That's why you're shooting so good. Give me UConn in this one over Alabama. 11.5. Yeah, they've won every game by 30. They just beat a really good team. 11.5 is a lot in the Final Four. I don't know if I'll take that. Might take Bama with the points there, but I'm taking UConn over Alabama to reach the championship. And this is what I want. I think America wants this. America roots for the underdogs. But we want to see ones versus ones go at it. I would much rather see this UConn versus Purdue teams go at it. I mean, this will be the first time since 2021 we had Baylor take down Gonzaga of 2-1 seeds, making it that far to the championship. And, yeah, you like Cinderella's, but hey. I would much rather watch really good basketball, and that was what we would get with Purdue and UConn making it that far. So that is what I'm rooting for, and that's what I expect us to see coming up Monday night for the college basketball championship. All right, I'll be back, and I'll be breaking down both the men's and women's college basketball championships next Monday, Tuesday. So enjoy that. I mean, it's going to be some great basketball, men's and women's side for sure. You got great NBA coming up. You got the Texas Open coming up. You got MLB this weekend. So a phenomenal weekend in the sports world. All right, let's move into my final segment, who I'm sharing my burger and brat with. Sharing it with Santa Fe, New Mexico. I went up there this past weekend, had a phenomenal time. I mean, I went up skiing, went snowboarding at Ski Santa Fe. Oh, it was perfect. This late into the season as well. I mean, late. It was last week in March going up, and they had 75 inches at the base. Just huge snowstorm coming in that week before. I mean, getting 40 inches over like a couple days, and it was perfect. I mean, trails were groomed. Every trail was open. Every lift was open. This late into the season, staff, the whole experience was awesome at Ski Santa Fe. And just, I mean, Santa Fe, phenomenal city, phenomenal food, phenomenal shopping, phenomenal culture with the first peoples, the Native American people, and their history, their culture. And got to go see some Oppenheimer. Got to go to Los Alamos, ski up there as well, and see all that history. So that was really fun, going up to Santa Fe, Los Alamos for the weekend and getting some snowboarding in. So sharing my burger and brat with that whole city and just being able to do that. So thank you all for listening. The Eclipse, Monday. Make sure to check out Hefner Eye Care. Be throwing a doing a bash for giveaways, prizes, food, and drinks. So check that out. 12:30 p.m. Central to about 3-ish that day on Monday to watch the Eclipse. And we'll have glasses for you. I'll be live at Hefner Eye Care during that time. So thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow the podcast on any platform, any streaming service, literally anywhere. Get your podcast at Burgers and Brats. And stay up to date with the latest news on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and hopefully you just watch live on millions.co at Burgers and Brats. Thank you all for listening. Take care. Stay safe. Enjoy the eclipse.